In the name of the Father, and of the Son,
and of the Holy Ghost.
Today is Easter, the highest feast of the church year, the feast of feasts, the feast which all other feasts share. In the beginning, there was only Easter, the first centuries of the church, before any other feast day. And then as I repeated the past, as the church year began to develop, we began to have feast days throughout the year. This would have been in the early church, all of our anniversary of baptism. And then we eventually would spread our baptism throughout the year. But just for fun, raise your hand if you were baptized on the Easter Mass, either the vigil or on Easter Day. I look for Christina's around the lot. Oh, in the first 2 centuries, all of us would have raised our hands. But the fact that this is not all of our anniversaries of baptism does not lessen the significance of Easter, but it does make us work harder, bring the spirit of Easter closer to the power of palpable heart. Because if we're honest, some of us might say, Christmas is more honest. It tugs at the mind, it tugs at the heart. And yet, Easter is real blood and bone. Easter celebrates the central belief of Christianity, the belief of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And yet, if we're honest again, we have to admit that the very central belief of the church is also perhaps the most difficult belief to believe. Because no one was there, we don't know exactly how resurrection works. It's clouded in mystery. And yet, it is the central belief upon which we live and thrive and have our being as Christians. And so we honor this day. And the business of the belief is symbolized by the season of Easter. It's not one day, but 50 days. 10 days longer than Lent, several times longer than the 12 days of Christmas, larger than Advent. And the promise of the believers, as we walk through these 50 days and celebrate them, we will grow into our belief in the mystery of the resurrection. So I ask you to come these 50 days. I know I ask you to come 40 days of Lent. Now 50 days of Easter. Let me take a pause to thank you for Lent and Holy Week. And I promise you, this will bring much of the answer to the Mary Magdalene. So thank you for coming. Thank you for helping produce the costly, lengthy, complicated, beautiful, ancient ceremony of Lent and Holy Week, where we kept company with our Lord. We were companions along the way of his suffering and then on the Friday of his death. When we accompany someone, we have sanctified the time. One of the most radical beliefs of Christianity is this, that the Trinity of God desires our companionship. The immortal, invisible God only wise desires our company. To some that is offensive, to others is laughable. But St. Paul says to those who are being saved, it is our salvation. We believe that. So, to keep company with our Lord throughout Lent and Holy Week through his difficult days and last hours was a beautiful thing of the church. Have you ever sat with someone in a waiting room of a doctor, or at a deathbed, or in a waiting room before going into court? No words, really, but your ministry of presence, your very ministry of presence in that nursing home, that court, that doctor's office, sanctifies the time. And that's what Mary Magdalene was doing for our Lord Jesus. She loved him in life with great tenderness and devotion. She also loved him in death. She and the other women, or the other gospels, had come to the tomb to do for him what was honorable, loving, and respectful. And as the story goes, she comes to the tomb and it is found empty. And we have the story of Peter and John running to the tomb after hearing the word, and we learned that John was one path. The outman can't run to Peter, but Peter had more courage. He went to the tomb first. They did all the what men do. They looked around and said, "Run back out!" And they went home, but Mary Magdalene, in her grief, also in her tenacity, she stayed. And I imagine that in her love, she was also so agitated.
If you ever lost something in your home, something of value, you just go around in circles. I look at the same place and know it's not there because it's a look there. But we go around and I can imagine their imagining just looking and not knowing what to do. And then he came upon the risen Lord not knowing what to do. Supposing him to be the gardener. And I think, I wish I could have heard the tone. I think it's one of the most beautiful, horrible things a human being has ever said. Sir, just tell me where you put the body. I'll go get it. And then it wasn't until our Lord said her name that her eyes were open. Him. And she saw the interest of the risen Lord. Now, this story is so beautiful. It's just tug at our hearts. So the Mary's story is our story. Let me first ask, what are the evidences of the resurrection? Well, this is the story of the empty tomb. And we're small and tiny stories. We tell us pictures of the empty tomb. And artists have depicted it throughout the centuries. And we think about it in our imagination. Also, the fifth separation of Jesus appearing after his resurrection. Mary Magdalene. Next Sunday, we celebrate the Valley of Thomas. And we saw Jesus' stars. Here they are, Tony. Or the Cleopas, the unnamed disciple on the road to Emmaus. I love that story. But they seem to see him in the breaking of the bread. Another time, so we have those apparitions. We have empty tombs. Why? The evidence for baptized Christians of the resurrection, Jesus is the presence of the risen Lord in our minds. I think all of us here who've been baptized should, I think all of us know what we know what we know, that there's been some time in our lives where we knew that the itself, the living presence of Jesus in our lives, the risen Lord. Did you know that almost every sacrament of the church requires our name to be said, as much as Jesus said the name there. When we're baptized, the important part of baptism is the Christian part. Name this child as an adult. The priest says the full name and then says, you are marked with Christ on forever. You are sealed. Receive the light of Christ, but your name. When you're confirmed, the bishop doesn't pray to get the Holy Spirit. You have it. You have the risen Lord in your life. But he prays for the continual strengthening of the Holy Spirit. That's why I have to drop a little name card and hold it so the bishop gets it right. Yeah. It says your name. If you are married or ordained, your name. It's not said in the Eucharist, but it is implied. When we receive the Holy Spirit, that God knows us by name and by need. And when we die, the priest says the name, and we're baptized into death, believing in those prayers that we will come to the other side, seeing this risen Jesus, this risen Lord, face to face. And that is our promise. So as we walk these 50 days of Easter, let us walk believing that we will grow more and more, and also in love for the resurrection. That we will be able to our life in good times and also in the dark, to be able to say with all authenticity and certainty, Jesus, that the Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Amen.